You are now tuned in to Let's Talk Ferrella, and this is a new segment I like to call Cypher Something. I have some guest stars with me that I'm going to introduce you after this amazing beat. Shouts out to Bob. Blah! Hey, yo, what's up, man? This is Cypher Something, and I'm sitting here with my man, the legend, the great himself. Go ahead, tell him who you are.
Man, call me Dr. Shavs, you know me, back in the building after a long time with my brother.
Back in the building. I haven't spoke to Dr. Shavs way before he was a doctor. We were like in 11th, 12th, juniors in high school.
Back, you know me, McNair.
God damn. And a lot has transpired since I last seen Dr. Shavs. But in this episode, we want to give y'all some free game and really dive deep into cryptocurrency. And I'm here with the specialist, so I'm going to go ahead and let my man get started.
So, a wise man once told me, blockchain is the answer. So, what's the question? That's a powerful idea. That's a powerful technology. I don't think people fully appreciate it right now. There's a lot of game to be had. There's a lot of information out there that you could put into action and really change your life right now. It's more than just hitting on a particular coin and now you're hitting the moon. Because, you know, that's not too far from gambling. Let's just call it what it is, you know. And if you hit, you hit. I'm happy for you. But now once you hit, what do you do with that money? How do we sustain the success? How do we gain the success? How do we take these steps? If you're an artist, it's a great time to be in crypto. If you're a healthcare professional, there's a lot of crypto applications that can help your business. If you have some stacks that you're sitting on, you don't know what to do with, you could earn 40, 50, 60% a year without even risking your assets. This is really important advice. This could really change a person's life, you know, and I just want to get the message out there, you know, so.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. So, how do you feel the crypto market is going to go?
I think the crypto market's an inevitability, you know, and I think you got to pick your right projects. This is your opportunity to buy Amazon stock in the 1990s. This is your opportunity to get on that next trend. Imagine buying Apple when it first came out. Imagine buying some of these big name stocks. That's a big deal. That's life-changing potential. And let me tell you how cryptocurrency is not a stock.
Explain.
It has utility. It's not about just value anymore. It's about value that you can extract. It's about funds that you can move. It takes, on the global scale, you know, some people operate their business on a global scale, and it'll take about 7 days to transfer a sum greater than $10,000 across the world. And it'll probably cost you about a rack just to do that.
Seven days to transfer $10,000 across the globe.
$10,000 or higher, because, you know, sometimes we're talking really about millions of dollars that are trying to move from side to side. And in the process of trying to move that kind of money, a lot gets lost in translation. It goes from 8 to 9 different intermediaries. Our wealth, your own wealth, will go through so many intermediaries before it gets to person to person, how it ought to be. Now, this kind of technology enables, when you hear peer-to-peer, what does that mean? That means
person-to-person.
And Venmo don't need to be involved. And PayPal doesn't need to be involved. They don't need to be stealing our information and marketing our own vices towards us. We can do that ourselves, you know? And this is things to consider.
Yeah.
In the new world, you know, the new world that's coming, it's a digital world, you know? We're talking about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do we say?
How COVID's gonna be what? The new world order?
It's the new world order. It's a new paradigm that the world exists in now. And what took off? The delivery services, the online services, Zoom. It's a digital contactless world. Now people ain't even accepting cash like that. It's all credit cards and this and that.
And so quick. Like, as crazy as the virus seems like it just popped out of thin air, our money market changed so fast to the point you weren't able to get change back, to the point you weren't able to buy something unless you had the exact dollar amount. And with cryptocurrency, you can easily just pay for something an exact amount. Why do you think all you guys are using your debit cards more than anything?
Yeah, exactly. The fact that the government has the power to just print dollars like that is actually incredibly dangerous and harming to the economy. And it takes a couple of years to see that. I don't know if people are looking around. I advise everybody to look around. Take a look at the prices of everything.
Let's talk about inflation.
Yes.
Let's talk about how everybody's so happy that they're not working, but the fact that the government is pushing out all this currency, why do you think everything's going up in price? Is because the value of the dollar is becoming less and less.
And if they continue to print dollars, which I'm not on that level of comprehension of what's the right answer, what's the wrong answer at that level. But what I'm saying is if they continue to print dollars, you're looking at a $10 loaf of bread. You're looking at a $6 a gallon, you know, at the gas station. And that people should be aware of that.
And we're not too far away from that.
We're not too far away from it. We're actually going down that path. So if you are in a position, first of all, 2021, you need to be in a position where you're earning some type of income, some way, some salary, something like that. You know, whatever. It doesn't necessarily even have to be salary, but you got to have money coming in on a consistent basis. It's a step one.
I agree. That is such a true statement because, look, think about when somebody is hungry and scared, your survival instincts to survive kick in. And 2020 showed you whatever job and position you were in, if you lost it, you were in the wrong position. And then for a lot of people that were still working, it was like,
you know, some people even have the benefit of being able to stay at home right now and they're collected. And that's pretty tight, man, you know. But what are you doing with that money?
They're giving it right back to the government.
Retain your spending power. As a people, our power comes from the amount of influence we can have in terms of the economy. Now, if you want to look at all of the major social movements, there was always an economic aspect to it. Some kind of boycott, some kind of coalition of the funds to make these things happen. We can't be naive to these things. We need to retain our buying power as a people. How do you do that? We have to save. We have to stop spending all of our money. If you're going from paycheck to paycheck,
you're in the debt consumer cycle and you will never get out of it. And what? Just like let's touch base on how what? In the last five years, only like $4 or $5 million was put into the stock market. But in 2020 alone had $534 million put into the stock market.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about
home prices, assets in general, you know, precious minerals, and just even artwork? The amount of value of these devices have gone up incredibly. And why? Because there are other mechanisms to retaining your purchasing power. Because now I purchased something that's going to outgrow the inflation rate, and now I can use that to leverage into some funds if I need it. Because it's all really about access, you know. Money at a certain point becomes a tool. So either you could work for the money or the money could work for you. But you have to make that decision, and you have to work towards which goal you prefer, you know?
And having one stream of income is way too close to having none.
Because let me tell you, man, there's some stories about some big-name athletes who managed to go through all of their money, too, you know? So it's a problem that's applicable on every scale, you know?
It's like, it's funny you say that, because the statistic of how many professional athletes that go broke after they retire, bro, I want to say it's over like 54%.
But I'm really grateful that, you know, I see certain athletes now, they're advocates for being financially, you know, like they talk about that stuff. Even Kevin Hart, you know, he'd be on that tip about, okay, we need to be smart about that thing. And that's why we have these conversations, because we, you know, we need to be smart. We need to be up on game on what we could do to keep some of that money around. There's Bitcoin ATMs. You could go and buy Bitcoin for cash.
What? Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, And that, you know, you can find those south side of Stockton. You can find them over. You can find them on the north side at the gas stations. You
know, honestly, I mean? Yeah, they're in certain liquor stores now. They're in the middle of certain malls
now. You'd be surprised where you find those things, you know? And we're not even at full adoption level. So people that think that they missed out, you know, you're going to miss out the longer you stay on the sidelines. But it's very smart in general to just, you know, put some money off to the side and let it grow for you. Even if it's as little as $50 a month, you know what I mean? A dub a month if it has to be. But you know what? Some actionable, some consistent. Sometimes it's more about the actual practice of that, building up the chops to be able to do that. You know what I mean?
Okay, so what game and advice can you give to somebody who doesn't know how to make their money work for them in more than one way?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. So my thing would be like this. You got to look at your expenses. You got to look at how much money's coming in and how much is coming out. And you got to face the music. And that is uncomfortable. It feels tedious as well. It's a little bit of a chore. But you know what? You don't get ahead without exerting a little bit of effort. And it's really a minute amount of effort. You know,
It's so funny you say that, because Until I feel like financial independence and financial literacy has to be the biggest thing, because all too often do you see people get a raise and go get a new car, get a raise and go get a new house, get a raise and go take that trip. How many people that went to Vegas and went somewhere because the government gave them a stimulus? If you use your stimulus to take a vacation, you fucked up, because the reality of it is, if you can't take a vacation every year around that time, you can't afford that vacation.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. If you can't afford to buy seven of them, you probably shouldn't even buy one of them.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And we just got to be honest with those things. You got to ask yourself, instant gratification or you want something better? And that's the choice that we have to make, you know?
And in all to reality, the conversation of money is uncomfortable if you don't have the correct knowledge on money. Because truthfully, I don't believe in poor people. I just believe in people with poor spending habits.
Mindset is very important. You know, I think mindset is very important. No matter where you're at in life, I think if you have an attitude of gratitude, you'll develop an abundance mindset. You know, if you're grateful for the roof over your head, the clothes on your back, some people have less than that. You know what I mean? They're more grateful than
somebody with everything.
Somebody with everything, you know. So an attitude of gratitude, an abundance mindset in our language. And then the third thing you need belief. In our language, we call that yakin. You know, we have belief in something. You have to have belief that you're going to hit.
It's all about manifest destiny.
Yeah, you're going to have to really believe that you can get ahead. Self-confidence is important, because some people simply never give it a chance to learn. With that being said, you know, I honestly believe that you could, if you allocate a certain amount of your funds, whatever you could do for your situation towards the Bitcoin, towards even gold or this and that, that you could retain some of your buying power for a rainy day. That's a very smart strategy. You know, now there's different levels of participation in this ecosystem too, because you don't have to buy crypto to benefit from crypto.
Okay.
You know? And I want to get into that as well. You know, if you're an artist out there, cryptocurrency is your best friend, because they have these things now called non-fungible tokens.
Okay, I'm an artist. Tell me about it.
You know what I mean? And if you got a following, if you got a desire to develop a following, you have the opportunity of creating this awesome dual existence product. What do I mean by that?
NFT, and it's, so the acronym for NFT is what again?
Non-fungible token.
Non-fungible token. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So, non-fungible token, I think, you know, I think it might be appropriate to talk about, you know, the platform that it comes from. Ethereum has enabled this technology through the blockchain, through furthering the idea that Bitcoin started. And they said, what if we were to give a digital piece of art, or a digital just entity, What if we gave it a unique address? What if we gave it a unique tag that can never be removed, is always traceable, always trackable? Well, then you create a product that, for the first time ever, is what we will call a digital original.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could take a screenshot of it, sure. You know what I mean? You could rip it off, sure. But what you can't do is claim that you own it, because there is a system in place that gives it a, it's almost like a certificate of authenticity, if you will, you know? And the reason why it's important is because now you could track the value of that product. You could track the buzz around it. You could even, as an artist, you could implement your own royalties into your art pieces so that when they get resold, you get an action, you get it on that action as well. That's incredible. You know?
Wow. Yeah. So me as an artist, so pretty much you saying that by me creating my own signature, it's like my own watermark, right?
Yeah.
Like, even though people screenshot it and try to rip it off, and if I create one image and that image is sold, I can now track my, go ahead.
It's, you know, you think of it as, you know, they call it a token, right? NFT token, right? So whoever holds the token owns the object. And they're connected, they're interlinked together. And there's a lot of applications for this. That might kind of sound like a really abstract thing, but let's talk about one particular application that you can do for that. If you're a designer, you like clothes, you like fashion, you got a brand, you know, you can develop an NFT version of a particular line. You could throw a little RFID into one of your flyest pair of fucking clothes, you know, and say, you know, we got only 5 of these. This is the exclusive crypto line. You know, you gotta get clever with the name.
So wait, explain. So now you're saying that I can create an NFT clothing line?
You can create an NFT clothing line. It is only limited by your imagination. The applications of this is really dope, right? So when you give it that token, when you attach the art to this token technology, what you do is you enable a value system to be generated based off of the attention. So if people are like your product, people enjoy seeing your art, then there's going to be a value that develops. There's going to be a buzz around these NFTs that you're developing. People are going to want that. So what it really is, in a sense, is social currency. Again, it goes back to that. People are interested in your product. They have an opportunity to purchase it on an open market, peer-to-peer, directly. There's no middleman involved. You don't have to host it on this side, that side. You do it directly, peer-to-peer. That's powerful technology right there. And it doesn't only have to be digital. It could be a digital piece of art that's tied to a shirt, that's tied to a painting, that's tied to a lot of different things. Now, I happen to believe that if you're trying to market these NFTs, and if I buy it from a digital piece of art from you, and I got sent a fucking painting, I'll pay a lot of money for that.
Okay, wait. I mean? So to game me up and game the people up, I got all these paintings on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay? And I want to make the most amount of money, say, per se, whichever one. How would I go off attaching a non-fungible token NFT to a physical piece of art? How would I do that?
It's pretty much as simple as printing a barcode on the back of it. You know what I mean? You assign a QR code to it, and you could scan that QR code, and that art piece is going to show up in a digital gallery, some on Ethereum-based blockchains. They also have their own dedicated NFT spaces. Now, you know, the burden of finding which NFT platform fits best for you should always lie with the artist, because different ones are going to do different things. But, you know, they got different protocols. One's by the name of OpenSea, that you can scan your document right there. You could get a very
open
nice
seas.
Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
You can scan that, you can digitize that, and you can auction it off.
What? Yeah. And then when it sells, what do I do with the physical? Do I ship it to them? Or do I still keep it?
That is, you know, entirely up to you, you know. It would be an added value for the customer. Perhaps something that you could promote, an added value to the customer, that this digital piece of art comes with the chance. Now, let me throw something else at you real quick, right? with the chance of getting a physical product. Now, why am I saying that? What if you did 10 prints of that? Or 5? It's still exclusive. There's only 5 of these in existence. It's almost like a Pokemon card or something like that. You create this aura around your projects. It's all about supply and demand, right?
Okay.
So stay with me real quick.
I understand. Right,
so now if you got 5 of these in rotation, let's just say one of those lucky 5 out of those things might just be the person who scores a physical copy. And we're going to do some kind of raffle where we're going to read off the numbers. And if this is your address, then you reach out to us confidentially because we don't want to expose. That's cryptocurrency is all about privacy. So we want to respect people's privacy, you know.
Uh-huh.
They reach out to you. You know, you exchange peer-to-peer. You say, okay, I'm going to send this to you. That's cool. The application for these things is eye-opening. And I want people to know about that. Google, if you're an artist right now, you need to Google what is an NFT. You need to Google how do I make NFTs. If you got a fashion line, if you're an artist, if you're a musician, these are all things that can benefit you. If you are an influencer, it benefits you the most. Because you already see this technology is a logical progression of what has already happened. If you look at influencers, how do influencers make their money?
By being in your face and always letting you know who they are.
Off their influence. Off the amount of people that are following them. Right?
Correct.
Their money comes from not necessarily actual like monetary skills or monetary money. It comes from the amount of people paying attention. So this is the same concept.
Okay. Yeah. So you're breaking down NFTs like how you always see, like, oh wow, that one kid, long neck, he had no talent, he was a hillbilly kid, but you always knew who he was by that kid with the long neck. And the like, the more views you get on it is how you pretty much accumulate value.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And the world has already been existing for that quite a while, because you know, like those viral videos, it'd be the randomest, you know, how is this relevant type of stuff. And yet, what's the ad revenue on a 33 million view video, 100 million, billions of view video? That's a lot of ad revenue that gets generated off that. So the economy has already been participating in this way. But the game's been skewed to these small, big-time companies that siphon the attention. This whole movement, sometimes it's referred to as Web 3.0, this is really an opportunity for the everyday person to be involved on this big scale. And you see it in every direction. It's not just art. We were talking about Helium, mm-hmm. you know, which is a different project. I advise people to go check a look at that, you know?
Helium yeah. is, well, I you want to explain Helium for the people who don't know? Because I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, Helium is a really cool blockchain technology. Is kind of a different, not related to the NFTs necessarily, but they're more on telecommunication. So they're creating a network using these mines, right? They call them quote-unquote mines that provide what's called proof of coverage. And so it's a radio signal that you emit, and what happens is you get one, I get one, he gets one, and she gets one. And we're setting up our own radio towers. We're setting up our own infrastructure for internet, for cell phones. You know, this is kind of a progression of that idea, you know. So it's very experimental, but the long and short of it is you can buy these devices, you plug them in, and they'll pay some people $400 to $500, $600 a month to have these mines up and running, participating in what they call the People's Network.
And the Helium miners themselves, people, be on the lookout for them. They cost $400. They are pretty much non-existent because they're sold out everywhere. eBay does have them for resale value, but these things could be plugged into any quarter of your house for you to create more passive income from yourself to get you further and further away from being in debt again. But go ahead.
So how do you come up on crypto? How do you come up on crypto? A couple of ways. You know, if you got a job already and you're doing your thing, you're in your groove, you found your calling, you know, or you've at least you found your routine, then implement rules like the 50-30-20 rule, right? Where 50% of my money goes towards my expenses and my gas and my food. 30% of my money goes towards me, you know, my clothes, my gear, my enjoyment. But 20% gets paid to my future. 20% of my income goes towards buying into assets on a weekly, monthly basis, such as, you know, if you like what Ethereum is doing, Ethereum, Bitcoin, this, that, these projects that have real value. It could be stocks as well, but, you know, this is a crypto-based conversation. These assets are going to accumulate value over time. But yeah, there'll be dips. That's a buying opportunity.
Buying the dip?
Yeah, buying the dip, you know? But on real projects with real value, you know, I dislike and I discourage the dialogue around, oh man, this coin's gonna hit, this coin's gonna hit, this coin's gonna hit, you know? Because sure, some people are gonna hit, more people are gonna lose.
So you hate when people treat the crypto market like it's stocks?
I think, you know, not necessarily like stocks. People treat it like roulette right now. I mean, if they treated it like stocks right now, I would actually appreciate that. But, you know, current state of affairs with this is, oh, I could just get rich quick off this. But if you really look at it, and this is the argument that I present, is you could get rich forever off this. Not quick, forever. And that's a fundamentally different thing. And sometimes forever takes a while, you know? But that's more sustainable because, you know, man, if you find the right one, I'm never going to say, oh, don't make your money. Like, if you hit, that's incredible. Let's put that in DeFi. Let's put that to work for you. That's going to be further to our conversation. But be smart about it.
Which cryptos do you fuck with the most, all right, and why?
All right. I would love to answer that question. So
let's dive deep.
Let's start with the big daddy of the conversations, Bitcoin.
Bitcoin
has a serious shot of becoming the standard of which we value things. You know, there's a movement of people that are trying to enable that, and it's gaining traction. The city of Miami, right, which is not that far away, we're in America, right? The city of Miami has an option for all of his employees to get paid in Bitcoin. You can pay your taxes in Bitcoin. The mayor of that city, they just had a conference out there in Miami. The mayor says, I want Miami to be the cryptocurrency capital of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Government officials are saying this. You know? There's a value proposition here that people, you got to see that this is that next gold, that digital gold. Why do they say that? Why do they say digital gold? Why not just get real gold, right? You can't turn gold into money with the same speed that you could turn Bitcoin into money. You know what I mean? That's a powerful thing. The amount, the way that you could move. You know, how you move $1 million worth of gold? That shit takes time, dedication, effort.
And you know, people, you're gonna be and sweating, manpower, all kinds of shit.
You're going to need some choppers. Yeah. You know what I mean? For real.
Yeah, there's
right?
no yeah. way you can there's, transfer yeah. that much gold without anything.
I could send you $1 million worth of Bitcoin in about 15 minutes anywhere in the world. It'll cost me about maybe like a dub. You know what I mean? Maybe $18. You know what I mean? Something wow. like that. You know?
That's powerful.
What's incredible is these newer second generation, third generation blockchains can do the same transaction. You think 15 minutes is impressive? Let me tell you about these brand new ski ones. They're doing the same thing in seconds.
Wow.
That's powerful. That's incredible, you know? And for the first time ever, you can have complete autonomy over your money, but that comes with certain risks too, right? But you have to have your own wallets. You want to have your money. You buy them on markets, but you want to have your own wallet where you own that code where you could redeem your coins.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have that in your possession. You don't want to have that digitized. You don't want to have that on your phone. You want to have that written down, or better yet, memorized, you know?
The code that you get from when you make a crypto wallet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's your money. And anybody who has that code has your money. But let me tell you, that system, some people would argue that that's a lot of responsibility, that you have all that control over your money like that. But the bank will lock you out of your money, right? And fact, you can only fit so much under the mattress.
And what it, and COVID showed people that once the stores don't want your cash and you don't got a debit card, you now have no currency.
It's all about having the variety of options available to you. But you asked me the question, what are the best blockchains? You know, yeah. So I really like Bitcoin. I think that if you're going to be what's called a value investor, you're in it for the long run, then 50% of your portfolio that you're going to allocate in this direction, at least 50% ought to be Bitcoin. You know, now I would also accept, because I'm a big fan of Ethereum, that if you said to me 50% of my portfolio would be some combination of Ethereum and Bitcoin, I like that too. But it should be heavy on the good stuff, even though perhaps they might not grow like some of these other coins that'll take off.
Yeah,
right. But they're not going to shrink the way those others. If Bitcoin goes down 50%, there's a lot of other tokens that are going to go down 90%, 110% sometimes. Crazy. You know what I mean? This, like...
So, Bitcoin...
retains. And number two, I will say I would have to be Ethereum right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love Ethereum.
Yeah. And the reason why I say that, man, is because Ethereum is what really opened the door. Like... I love Ethereum too. I have more Ethereum than anything else in my portfolio. And the reason why is because that is where the new internet is being built. That's where Web 3.0 is happening. By the way, the entire innovation of NFTs exists currently primarily on Ethereum.
I've seen that.
That's where that idea was consummated, created, and perfected. And now you have NFT only blockchains. And that's cool too. But this is where they first started Ethereum. That's crazy. That's something different, you know?
That is powerful, but how do you feel about Cardano? Because I know that Cardano is supposed to be the next most... Cardano is rumored to be the next Bitcoin because of how advanced it is in terms of Ethereum.
And number three on my list is Cardano.
Okay, there you go.
In that order, because... Cardano, what a lot of people don't understand is, first of all, it's affordable still. You know what I mean? Cardano is not as expensive as Ethereum or Bitcoin.
It's only $1.46.
But, you know, the real value comes in the market cap when we're evaluating these things. They did everything the long way, the hard way, Cardano did. The creator of Cardano, Charles Hoskinson, was actually one of the co-founders of Ethereum. So, you know, that connection is powerful too right there, where he intimately knows Ethereum's pros and Ethereum's cons. And they created an entire ecosystem to actually, the way that they marketed, they say that Bitcoin was the first generation blockchain, Ethereum was the second generation blockchain, and Cardano is the third generation blockchain, like the next evolution of this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe that. I think that they have a lot to offer. They signed some kind of, they have some kind of agreement. I believe it's in Ethiopia, but I would have to verify that, where they're providing for the first time to, I think, 100,000 different individuals a digital identity. Now in America, we're a little different. We're like, we don't want to be tracked as much, you know? But the issue with not having an identity is you don't have access to credit services. You don't have access to really a lot of these things that you can use to get ahead, small loans. You got a solid idea, you know what I mean? You just need a little bit of funds to kickstart that idea. A lot of people, because they have no means of, it's a cold game, that they have no means of identifying themselves. They don't exist in the sense of the national, you know, entity isn't aware of this person. There's no birth certificate, death certificate type of system. Mm-hmm. And these people are left out of the global economy. Cardano is seeking to enable the third world. And they say it just so happens that this technology also really benefits America. This technology also would be really great implemented in these bigger countries. But they understand the vision is to help the developing world, because that is where you can do the most change and you can really get a use of your ecosystem. So that's really cool that they're doing that. A big innovation of these blockchains is what's called smart contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, and smart contracts, you can think of that in the sense of kind of like a vending machine, right? Vending machine, man, there's not too much involved. You put the money in, the money stays in there, it holds that money, and out comes your result, your can of soda or what have you. Just like that, you could program now contracts to where both parties enter the money and there's a product, an if and or result, and then there's some kind of transaction that could happen automatically. There's nobody that needs to do that for you. There's no physical switching of anything. It's all handled within the code. And now that sounds like a really simple idea, but it's enabled all of this innovation. But at the core, that was the idea that made it happen. So now what you have is digital banks. I don't really like to call them digital banks because they refer to them as DeFi. Decentralized finance.
And you're talking about cryptocurrencies right now,
this
right?
This is cryptocurrencies, okay. Man. This is why is Ethereum value so much? Why is Cardano and Polkadot and Solana and a lot of these other blockchains, why are they developing these things called DeFi applications and decentralized exchanges? Because they're enabling, for the first time ever, you can really put your money to work. I don't have to go to Coinbase. If I already have some Ethereum, if I'm an artist and I'm generating revenue in a cryptocurrency in a really unique and innovative way, I don't have to take that money from Coinbase. I don't need a big company in the middle of me in my dreams. I could earn that value, right? And then I could take that money and I can use it, what's called a decentralized exchange. Mm-hmm. And I could invest into these other projects. You could use Ethereum to buy a lot of these coins that they be pumping. You could buy Ethereum to buy coins like Chainlink, Uniswap, Aave, all these different innovations exist within that ecosystem. It's kind of like apps on a phone. Ethereum is the phone. All these other projects are the apps within it that operate on it. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And so Cardano is a different phone. That might be the Android. This might be the iPhone. Although, man, Cardano might be the iPhone.
Advanced Cardano is, yeah, compared to all these other cryptocurrencies. And then, like you said, in Ethiopia, like, cryptocurrency is already going to be such a big thing because already in Senegal, they're already 100% crypto-based. And how you were touching base on earlier, how hard it is to transfer money to person to person. Bro, in third world countries, it is the most hardest to have cash on hand or crypto on hand. I mean, cash on hand or having any type of banks. So them being crypto based is so beneficial.
Because not everybody has a bank account, but almost everybody over there has a cell phone. And so that could be their entryway into the economy. I mean, we do everything on our phone. Why wouldn't, that's a logical progression. You already got PayPal, you already got Venmo. You know, so this is an evolution of these ideas. Really, if you think about it, you know. Let's talk about decentralized finance, you know. This is a really interesting technology and it ties into everything. If decentralized finance is the reason why Ethereum is currently valued more than Bank of America. If you compare the market caps of the two, Ethereum's market cap is greater than the market cap of Bank of America. That should tell people something. You know what I mean? It's time to wake up on this game, you know? You could take your Bitcoin, your Ethereum, things that you bought. Let's say perhaps you bought, you got it early. You know what I mean? You bought Bitcoin at 3 Gs when it was at its all-time low during the coronavirus dump, right? And now it's 30 Gs, right? And let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you bought 3 of those. You know, and so you turn 9 G's into 90 grand.
Yeah.
But you have full belief. Actually, at one point, that 90 grand was, because it was all the way at 60 grand. So what's 90 times 180 grand? At one point, that was the value that 3 Bitcoin
held.
Wait,
Bitcoin hit 3 grand when Corona started?
There was, yeah, it dumped down hard.
I didn't even see that.
3 grand, 3 to 6 grand range was a really life-changing buying opportunity, really, if you had it. So, but why did I bring up this analogy, right? let's say you don't want to sell your Bitcoin, because there's a lot of people, I also agree that it's going to go to 100,000 one day. It's going to go above and beyond. Well, you don't have to sell your Bitcoin to tap into that value. And that's what DeFi is. You could take similar how you could take a loan against your house or your business because it has that value. You could take a loan out against your Bitcoin, your Ethereum. There's other like Chainlink, Uniswap, other Ethereum-based cryptos that you could actually go and take a loan out against and get funds for. And now why am I saying that? Why would I even do that in the first place? Well, if you sell your Bitcoin, you're subject to capital gains tax. If you borrow against it, you are not.
Oh, so if I sell my Bitcoin to have cash profit, I get taxed on it. But if I borrow from it, explain that.
It's not taxed at the same rate. My understanding is, you know, in every jurisdiction is different. So this is something, you know, it's not financial advice. People have to figure it out on their own, you know. But when my understanding is that when you sell an asset, that incurs a capital gains tax, because that was a capital gains. You use your money, you came up with it, you know. However, when you borrow a loan, you take a $100,000 loan, they don't tax you double on that. You know what I mean? And so we got to think of those lines. So what the rich do when it comes to real estate, you know, is they do these 1040 exchanges, and they do these different mechanisms to where they don't got to pay the tax on selling it. And then how do they extract the value? They go and take a loan against it. You see what I'm saying? It's a very powerful thing. So this is the same concept. This is the same game that you could do with cryptos on a whole different scale, because houses cost tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? These cryptos, man, these are still, man, relative to what they're going to be, mm-hmm. These are some amazing buying prices. And even if it goes down lower, you know, which is on the table, mm-hmm. You got to understand the risk of these things, you know? I'm not advocating that somebody who can't afford it go buy some stuff. You have to take responsibility for your own finances. You know, what I'm saying is, this is a value proposition, and there's reasons behind why that is. So you could take your Bitcoin now, and you could, if you got 90 grand, a website like Aave, which is one of the biggest DeFi protocols on Ethereum, will say, well, we'll allow you to take, I think it's like 75% of your Bitcoin value, right? Now, what can you do with that money? Now you could take that out into the real world and do some shit with that money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could be a down payment for a crib. That could be this, that could be that. But if you elect to keep it in the system, right, you can take out your Bitcoin for U.S. dollar equivalents to call stable coins, right? So you could move, perhaps you see them U.S. Tether, U.S. dollar coin, DAI, they're tied to the U.S. dollar. You could take those, now you're lending to the very same person who gave you the loan. You could lend that money back and earn passive income that way. And now there's levels to this. You see what I'm saying? So you could take that asset, extract the value, and implement it into these lending protocols, and you could earn an additional as low as 10%, as high as 90%, depending on your risk tolerance. There's different pools that generate different things. I'm going to throw an analogy at you, okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, if you want to buy a crib or something, typically for an investment property, you're looking at about a 20% down payment. So if you're talking about a $500,000 crib, you know, you're looking at putting $100,000 down. Now, if you're doing it for investment purposes and you're trying to get some rent or some shit off of it, well, people don't do the math on, there's property taxes, there's insurance. Sometimes the tenants don't pay that much. Right now, COVID, you know, on the business side of things, you can't even evict someone that's not paying you right now. So you might have to take that L if you're in the real estate game, right?
And that's why the housing market is going
to
crash.
And that's why there's a potential for the market to crash, because there's unsustainable activities going on. But I don't want to get too far from the point. The point is, about $100,000, when at the end of the day, you'll be lucky to see a rack a month off that. You know what I mean? What is that? That's a 1% return, right? You know what I mean? Comparative to the money you put in, how much you're getting now, that's a 1% return until you refinance the place, you know? Mm-hmm. You can take $100,000 into crypto, straight cash, and never risk it going down. it stays with the U.S. dollar value. And you could be earning $3,500, $6,000 a month, $9,000 a month, depending on where you park it. People need to know about that. If you got 25 grand, which is not a small amount of money, but I believe it's an achievable goal for many, especially for many in your mid-20s, you should be able to hit that mark some way, somehow. Like, you could get to that number, right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You could be bringing home a rack, $1,200 a month extra, you know what I mean? To go towards the bills, to go towards this, to go towards that. Why not know about this game? This is what the banks have been doing with your money anyways. If you have money in the bank, while they give you 5 cents for every $1,000 you deposit a year, you know what I mean? They're turning around and they're earning 20%, 30% yields on your money, giving it to this guy, giving it to that guy. Why can't we participate in this system?
Exactly.
That's exactly what DeFi is. And that's why it's powerful. That's why Cardano and Ethereum and this and that are a big deal.
Wow. Wow.
And I want people to know about that, you know? And I want people to learn these different things, you know? It's worth a little bit of time and effort. It could change your life. You could generate rent without buying real estate right now. You know what I mean? That's powerful. For the price of a car, you can have a monthly income coming in.
You know? That's 100% true. What a lot of people don't understand, so you're pretty much talking about using your money in other ways than buying shit that you don't really need.
Don't need. Stack it up and get to a point where you can buy 10 of those motherfuckers. Come out hard, you know what I mean? If you're gonna do it right, you know what I mean? Don't, I would dissuade people from living a dream. Don't live a dream. Be the dream. Make your dream a reality. And this is just one mechanism by which you could do it. I'm not by any means saying this, that end all be all, but man, that's incredible. Real quick little plug, man, on that website, Aave, right? So they just recently released some news. Some NFTs, man, let me tell you, bro, this big time artist, there was one that sold for $70 million. It was a collage. Sold for $70 million NFT. It's a big market. This is not no joke market, okay? You could develop NFTs to have some serious value, man. No cap, man. I could see your art going for racks. Racks, if not more than that, you know? And as time goes on, they're going to be worth more and more because they're originals. Now, Aave's introducing a mechanism. Remember, we were talking about these NFTs. Uh-huh. You can deposit your NFT into Aave, and now you're going to be able to take a 65-70% loan against the value of your art.
Wow.
And you could go and play this game again, and you could make a monthly off of that. It's totally revolutizing the idea.
You're going to have me up all night tonight. That's crazy.
It's worth the time and the effort. It's worth the rabbit hole. It's going to lead to a better life. And that's all I'm telling people. Knowledge is power. Don't write it off. Oh, I can't do it. Or, oh, that ain't for me. Or, oh, that's just a gimmick. Just look a little deeper to the surface. You know? Motherfuckers all day, bro. They be like, oh, I got time for that. They gonna watch 30 music videos. You know what I mean? About 15 of those is the same song. You know what I mean? So, spend some time on your future. Spend some time on your growth, you know? And there's a lot of really good game out there. There's a lot of really good YouTube channels, man. Coin Bureau is a really good one that I like to go watch, you know? Learn about it, man. You might find your next career, your next passion might be a part of this thing, you know? You might find that this is going to enable you to finally, you know, get ahead, finally get a little bit of breathing room. Some people out there, man, got it tough, you know? This could be a mechanism to where if you're willing to put in the work, it all takes work. Going and learning about something, that's effort too. It shouldn't be undervalued, you know? If you spend the time to learn the game, you could really get ahead. So with that being said, you know, There's a lot of resources out there. You know, perhaps, you know, coming soon, we might have some more educational resources for people that we're going to put out, certain kind of informational things like that. Because right now, it's like trying to learn a different language. And it shouldn't be like that, you know? We need to make it accessible to people. We need to get people involved. And this is going to be the path for us to really get some group economics going. Get some group buying power. It's cool, man. It's really cool. And don't ever be all in, but don't ever be all out either. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it, you know? So, yeah, man. You know, I think it was a good one. You know, I had a good time, you know, conversating with you. You know, I think, is there any questions that maybe you want to bounce back and forth, you know, or...
Honestly, dude, everything you told me about NFTs, I know exactly what I need to do. I just now need to create me an account, but all that stuff, all those collages, dude, watch. Yeah, watch. You really...
You have to put that into action, man. That's a beautiful thing, man. Be on the lookout for the Rilla. What is it? The Rilla...
Forella Galleria.
Rilla Galleria.
Be on the lookout, man. NFTs coming soon. Honestly, to keep it all the way at billion, I'm going to probably need your help to find me a perfect NFT for my stuff, but I already know I can fucking murder it.
Yeah.
But, bro, you put me on. You put everybody on with so much fucking crypto knowledge. A lot of shit had me blown away. I just had to let you talk.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
So, bro. I appreciate you for coming. And this is my man, Dr. Shabs.
And we out.
And we out. Gone. Hope you guys enjoyed Cypher Something. I have plenty of content on the way. Check out Forella Galleria on Instagram. This is a new segment I'm adding to Let's Talk Forella, but I just wanted to give insight and feedback and perspective on certain topics and point of views from everybody's life. I hope you guys enjoy the beat because we worked really hard on it. Shouts out to Little Uzi Squirt.